We've been praying this week and seeking God, and it is something that changes not just other people, but you. How many believe that prayer can change you? Amen. Your life begins to be different. Why? Because you're hanging out with the God of the universe who created you. And He knows all about you. He knows all your flaws and He knows all your good points. And He knows the plan of God for your life. And He knows how to get you into that plan. Now, hallelujah. Some of you are saying, well, maybe you're right on God's plan. You've been walking in His purpose for your life. You said, I'm just right on. Well, we want to stay right on. Amen. How many know that we can, you know, if you get just 1 degree off here from Canada and we're flying out to BC to go visit Tyler and his new bride, hallelujah, Larissa. Well, you might go visit him. She knows him real well. She went to school with him, hallelujah. Praise God, you know, we're flying out to BC or something and you're 1 degree off. You understand you're not going to reach your destination. As you continue, if you stay 1 degree off, every once in a while we need that course correction. How many have a GPS? You've ever used the GPS, or you saw somebody else use one if you haven't used one? And how many know what happens when we get off course? Recalculating, right? Recalculating. And God knows how to recalculate you in your heart and in your mind and say, oh, you know, if we get any degree off, He knows how to bring us back to the will of God and the place that God has called us to walk in. How many know that everybody in the kingdom has a purpose? So I don't know if I have a purpose. Well, let's look for a minute in the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this morning, verse 9 says, who has saved us? Well, who's he talking about that saved us? Isn't it Jesus? Did Jesus save you? Amen. Who saved you? Jesus. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own what? Purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a purpose, and He's got a grace for you before the world ever began. Have you ever thought about that? He's got something He's called you to do in the earth before the world ever began. Your name came up with God and Jesus, and there's God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're all together talking, and your name came up, and you're the plan of God for your life. God, who is all-knowing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all God. That is one. The Bible says He is one. But here He said He's got a holy calling for you. Not according to our works or what we did. He called us, yes, to Himself, but according to His own purpose and grace. In other words, God's ability that comes on the inside of you to perform a specific function in the body of Christ. Oh, wow. How many know we're one body? And we all function, what, together? Each part supplying. And so there's a holy calling on you. That you have your own purpose. And there's a grace that comes with that purpose for you in this world. And that God designed you. And that you're not a mistake. You know, sometimes you say, well, how did I, you know, maybe it was sometimes people are born, you know, and, oh, well, it was a mistake. You know, there are no mistakes with God. Once you're born, your purpose was written down in heaven, and God wants to get it across to you. He wants you to discover His purpose. Now we know the first purpose, right, is to be born again. God said, I desire that every man, right, that all men would be saved and come to what? The knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the one that came. And God didn't have to make a way for man to know God. He didn't have to. We're a fallen race. He could have left us to ourselves, but He chose not to. And when you and I have discovered this truth, and we say, yes, Lord, You're my Savior, You're my Lord, He says, I've placed within You a purpose. I place within You a plan. I place within You a holy calling. That just means you are set apart for His use. He said, I've got purposes in the earth for you. That's the reason when you got born again, He didn't just take you to heaven. He could have, or He could, wouldn't that be something? People disappearing all over the earth. Of course, we wouldn't be here to help anybody else come to Christ, would we? Your purpose would be of no avail. So we wouldn't even find Him. Why? Because there would be no man, no human on the earth to preach the truth to you. Jesus said, I'm going away. It is expedient. It is, in other words, He's saying it is absolutely necessary that I leave. John chapter 7, let's go there for a minute, 38. Jesus said, I have to go. Verse 38. Thank you. I thought I said it right the first time. I did. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to trust You. How many are praying for me? Amen. Thank You, Lord, for help today. Verse 38. He that believes on Me, as the Scripture has said. How many believed on Him? You believed on, you've received Jesus into your life. He said, Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. I believe You died on the cross for me. I confess You as my Savior. I know that You paid the penalty for my sin, and I receive that. And when we do, on the inside of us, our spirit was changed from darkness to light. There was a great explosion on the inside of you, whether we saw it or not. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes, and what? Quickened us and made us alive to Him. Oh, my Lord, what a wonderful thing. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing because God wanted to dwell in man. And here He says, if you believed on Me, as the Scripture said, He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, that's the King James Version. And here, out of the belly. In other words, out of your innermost being, out of the very core of who you are, will flow these rivers. Not a river, but rivers of life-giving water will flow out of you. Ooh, I bet you didn't realize you're that valuable this morning. Sometimes I think we know it down in the inside. See, we know because our spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us, but sometimes we've got to, on purpose, think about it. Amen. Think about it. There is such life in me, the very life of God, so moved on the inside of me that He wants to come out of my innermost being rivers. Not just a little bit of water, not just one river, but rivers of living water. That means on the inside of you, there's a flood. Oh, glory to God. Woo, are you seeing it this morning? Amen. Sometimes we've got to, you know, we read the Bible sometimes, I think, and we don't slow down enough to think about it. We hear what we read those verses, you know, and we read what it says, and we understand what it's saying, but we don't really think, you know, when we begin to really pour it in there and think about it, that would be a good scripture. You know, right here, just one scripture sometimes to, hallelujah, think about it. That from the innermost being flow these rivers of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Life-giving water. And that's God's desire for you, not to stay the same, but to continue to know Him and to continue to let the life that He put inside of us grow and mature and come to a place of living water, life-giving water flowing out of you. How many know a lot of people need that life-giving water today? They need what's in you. You have it. It's in you. It already exists. That's why when you pray, things change. I said, well, I thought it was when Pastor Doug prayed. It is. But it's also when you pray. Why? Because God came and made His home on the inside of you. And now He says, out of you here, out of His belly, those that are born again, out of your innermost being, amen, the core of who we are is going to flow these things. He said, I have to go away. It is absolutely necessary. I've got to depart. Because if I don't depart, that's over here. We're going to look at that scripture here in just a second. Let's turn over there a minute to John. Verse 16:7. I quoted this, but it's John 16:7. Hallelujah. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now, what's He talking about here? Everybody says, well, I'm not really sure. Why is it necessary? In other words, expedient just means it's advantageous. It is for your advantage that I leave the earth, Jesus said, so that I can send the Comforter, hallelujah, to you. That means He's talking about, who is He talking about? What is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Helper, the Advocate. In other words, the Greek says Paraclete, the one that's called to live with you now, to come beside you, the Holy Spirit Himself, who is the Helper and the Advocate who's going to help you now. See, how many know Jesus is not on the earth? He said, I'm leaving the earth so that I can send the Helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you, to advocate for you, to strengthen you, to cause you to be filled up to the place that living waters flow from within you. Jesus talked about, how many ever heard of the well of salvation? Amen. He's talking about what? A life-giving water source. The Holy Spirit is likened unto water. He said, I am telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God lives in you to such a degree. I want to fill you so full, Jesus is saying, that living water flows out of you. Oh, glory to God. I'm so far off what I'm working on today that we'll just keep going. But it's good. Sometimes we have to realize I'm not way off. I'm really not. But these scriptures have to come alive on the inside of us. It's good to read the Bible. How many know we need to read the Bible? But then after you get it, as we keep putting it in us, we think about what is it saying? We want to understand, Lord. And He's given us someone to help us. That's what He's saying here. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Helper, the one that walks with you, the Holy Spirit, to help you to overcome and to continue to move forward and to find what? God's purpose, God's plan for you? What is my part in the body of Christ? You know, I mean, I'm so thankful this morning. I'm glad that Jim didn't decide today is, this is Sunday morning. You know, I just feel led to go out and feed some homeless people and see if I can lead somebody to the Lord. And she comes back, she says, oh, you wouldn't believe it, Pastor, I was out. You know, we're like, well, where were you, Jim? We missed you this morning. Oh, I was out feeding the poor and, you know, helping them and praying for them. And I led 20 of them to the Lord. And we'd say, well, that's really great. But we needed you this morning to give the announcements. We were counting on you. You said, well, that doesn't sound like a very important job. But how many were blessed this morning? Amen. You're blessed in the exhortation that God gave her. We've got anointed announcements around here. We're blessed. And the purpose of God. See, it's not that we can't do certain things, but how many know? Sometimes God's got the right place at the right time right now. I'm glad Michelle's here this morning so that everybody on Skype can hear us. Amen. It is something, sometimes God has us doing things. They don't look so important, but they're important to God. And when we serve and we hear the voice of God, well, I want you to do these particular things, and they don't seem very important. Well, what caused you to do that? Love compelled me. God on the inside of me has compelled me to do that. It wasn't, you know, maybe you didn't hear a booming voice from heaven, but you got that inner knowing on the inside, this is what I need to do. You know, I really would like to pray for you. Would that be all right? You know, so somebody there, somebody here, whatever's in our heart. You know, a good place to start with the gifts of the Holy Ghost is in your prayer closet. You said, huh, in my prayer closet? Yeah. You know, how many know God knows everything? He can tell you. But if you become a gossip, he's not going to tell you. If you're going to tell everybody else and everybody's secret, he can't trust you. You say, well, I don't understand why God's not really using me. Well, hallelujah anyhow, right? You know, we could become trustworthy with him by our actions. See, trust is something that we earn even with God. He trusts us. You say, well, he already knows. Yes, he knows. And he wants to trust us with more. But he says, we'll see. Here's what I want you to do. And when we're obedient with the little things that he gives us to do that don't seem important. Well, I gave my word to Joe down here, who is a homeless man and doesn't know. And I told him I'd be there this morning to pick him up for church. And you just blew it off and let it be. No, you show up even if he doesn't show up. Why? Because I'm a man of my word and I'm going to do what I said I'll do. Amen. You see, everybody says, well, he's just a homeless guy. It doesn't matter too much. It matters to God. It matters to Joe. I'm not talking about this Joe. You know, whoever, you know, Joe Public out here who is waiting, you know, he's there. He's all excited. Somebody cared enough to even say, I'll take you. I'll come get you. And you show up, even if he doesn't, you're there. You wait a few minutes and see if you can find him. Maybe you ask about him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know how I got off on that, not from the scripture, but anyway, because he's talking about the comforter, the helper, who comes and helps us. And we're talking about God's purpose. And when we see, even in the little things, that God asks us to do, to be faithful and to follow through and to do with excellence. Amen. I don't know if you've seen our website, but I think it's pretty excellent. We could improve it, you know, with little things. I had some professional people call me about our website. And he said, that's a really good website. You know, there's a few things we could do if we wanted to spend some more money, but we don't need it at this time. You know, we could do some things, but it's not necessary at the moment. So we'll wait until it is, or if it is. So anyway, I'm thankful for that. I think excellence is important in every area. How many know Michelle does our worship? I love our worship. Amen. And soon it'll be live before you know it. We're believing God. We're trusting Him. Amen. All right. Anyway, we got into that. But we're talking about God's purpose for you. And Jesus said, I've got to go away. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The part of God that's going to help you to know and understand and find your purpose in this life. Now, all of us, not all of us, but many people know how that takes place. We have to receive the Comforter. How many in here have received the Holy Spirit? He lives in you. How many in here? See, I received the Holy Spirit when I was in a particular church. Yet I did not speak in tongues at that moment. I didn't know I could. But how many know what follows being filled with the Spirit? Speaking in tongues. When you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, that's how we know that we've received Him. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, maybe we'll get some more of this next week. But I want us to see that there is a purpose. There is a call on each of our lives. And it's very important that we fulfill it. You say, well, I'm called to bigger and better things. Well, maybe so. But how many know God wants to see us faithful where we are? He wants to see your heart where you are. What are you doing right now? What does He have you doing for now? Amen. Many times it's help another ministry for a while. Help them succeed. I was in a couple different ministries, but I mean, there's a lot of things I did in the ministry. I drove the bus for a few years until they came to such a place where they were broken down and we didn't dare take them out on the road anymore. But we fixed them many times. Climb under the bus. If you haven't put a starter on a bus yet, you haven't lived. Oh, Lord. They're like this big, you know. And push that thing up there. Oh, my goodness. Whew. That was a job. But praise the Lord. He gives us grace to fulfill different places that He has called us to walk in. And He's called us to be. But then the Holy Spirit, when we spend time, what? Praying in other tongues. And how many know that is something that's very misunderstood in the body of Christ? See, when I first received the gift of speaking in tongues, sometimes people are taught odd things. Well, you can only pray in tongues. See, you got the gift of tongues, but you can only pray in tongues, you know, or in the Spirit when a strong unction of the Holy Spirit overpowers me and drives me to almost shout in tongues. Then I can pray. But that's not so, is it? You see, sometimes these crazy ideas come about to the body. And people get all kinds of ideas because they don't want it to be them. But it is you. You have the stewardship of that gift. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14. You say, well, why are you talking about that? We just had a couple of weeks of praying and another a week of fasting and prayer, I understand. But I want us to look again. How many know it's good to look at the Word of God more than once in your life and to say, hey, I finished praying, but that doesn't mean our prayer is over. We pray every day, don't we? And we continue to pray. Why? Because this is important. It is important. You know, the truth is we can pray in tongues whenever we want to. You said here in 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if, Paul said, if I pray, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I'm going to pray in tongues when I desire to. Why? Because it was a gift that's given to every believer that receives the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every person can pray in tongues. He says, well, what's he saying? He said, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Who came in here and by your own desire, your own will, you begin to sing in English. In the same way, you can begin to sing in the Spirit. And I know this sounds very simple, but I want us to understand it again. There's a purpose of why we pray in tongues. The truth is, not much is really taught about praying in other tongues. Not very much is taught about the diversities of tongues. In other words, the different ways in which tongues is manifested. Now, some of you say, well, I've heard that over and over, but it's not going to hurt us to look at it again. You may run into somebody this week that's confused. Amen. And we're giving you some scriptures because it's necessary. There hasn't been much within the church. Not much understanding exists regarding the working of the Spirit of God. It's not there. Now, yeah, maybe in your circle, you said, well, I'm here all the time, and that's all I hear about. That's what I understand. And I think it's important because it needs to be stressed. It's important. And the reason is because when we pray in tongues, the Bible says, our mind is unfruitful. What does that mean? It doesn't understand it. It thinks you're speaking nonsense into the air, and it sounds crazy to our natural mind. How can me speaking syllables and sounds and words that I don't understand help me when it sounds crazy to my natural mind? Because it's not for your natural mind, it's for your what? Spiritual man. How many know the inside man is your spirit? It is a spirit in there. You have a spirit. We've been talking about that. We are a spirit. We what? We have a mind, will, emotion, and we have a body. And when we pray in tongues, our spirit actually is praying. You say, well, what is he doing in there? The Bible says, if we back up a few verses here, 14:2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands it. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries or divine secrets with God. How many know there's not anything that God doesn't understand? How many believes that God knows everything? So are you speaking a secret to God, or is the secret to you? So what's really happening is you're speaking the truth of what God, who God is, everything he is, to you, in you, and wants to bring out through you. And it's not a mystery to God, it's a mystery to you. But as we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit reveals those mysteries to you. Well, how are they revealed to me? I don't think I'm getting anywhere. I don't feel any different. It doesn't look any different. How can I know that on the inside of me, but if we won't quit and we don't stop and we keep praying, it comes to us in the form of understanding in our inward man first, down on the inside. It begins to grow like a tree, the direction of God. And my purpose begins to be made known to me. And I begin to say, oh, I see, Lord. I understand. I get a sense that this is the way it's supposed to be. I sense down on the inside of me. That's a, you know, you ever get that peace that, oh, that velvety feeling right down here, you know, right on the inside or on the inside of your spiritual person. Oh, I know I'm supposed to do this one, Lord. This is you. How many know the enemy can, you know, he tries to bring a false peace sometimes, but you know the difference on the inside of you. And you follow him because why? You have been praying in the Spirit. And what is happening? It is verse 4 said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You've been building up yourself on your most holy faith. Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I don't know if anything's happening. It doesn't look different. It seems like it's the same, but if you don't quit, he will become your very teacher and make known to you the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God for your life. And see, when we pray in tongues, the Bible says what? That we're speaking the very will of God out over our life. It was necessary that Jesus left. It was to our advantage. Why? So we could receive the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help us discover and walk in the purposes of God for our life. So that rivers of living water can flow from within us. So that we begin to understand who God is, who he is in us, who he is to us, and what he wants to be through us to the world. He didn't leave you here by accident. He left you here for a purpose and a plan. He left you here because he has a holy calling for you. It's holy. And he says, I've given you grace to fulfill it. That means God's divine ability, right? Working on the inside of us. We've talked a little bit about grace. Amen. You know, the true grace of God that works in us. Hallelujah. So the operations of the Spirit, though, they cannot be understood with what our natural mind. And I already said this. I said it's foolishness to the natural mind to think that speaking in a language that neither you or anyone else understands will not only edify us, but enlighten us to the things of God. And not only enlighten us, but it will launch us into fulfilling our divine call, our divine destiny that God has on your life. Oh, glory to God. I'm not getting very far today, but that's okay. It's all right. Sometimes I want to slow down and maybe we need to think about it a little bit more. So what am I really doing? Am I just speaking a bunch of syllables into the air? No, you are speaking the very will of God over your life. You're speaking those divine mysteries with him. Now the natural mind will tell us all sorts of things. Oh, you're wasting your time. It's not doing you any good. Maybe somebody else that you know chimes in with the enemy and, you know, says, oh, that's all you're doing. You're not doing anything. You're just praying. No, you're not just praying. You're speaking. And you're talking to God. And the Holy Spirit is talking through you. Back to the Father. The very will of God for your life. And the Holy Spirit knows where you are or where you're not on the plan of God for your life. And he knows how to get you there. But you have to be willing to say, Lord, I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. I need him to fill me. I need to spend time with him. I need to pray in other tongues. Why? Because I'm releasing myself to God. I'm dying to what I want and I'm living to what he has desired for me from the foundation of the world. And really, we're not really losing that much. We're just losing the things that are not of him. And we're receiving the things that are of him. And we begin to understand who he is in us and his purpose for us and we're moving forward because he begins to enlighten them. Amen. He's going to edify and enlighten you to the things of God. And he will also, what, launch you into fulfilling your divine call. That divine purpose. Remember he said he has a holy calling, we read. The first scripture we read. 2 Timothy 1:9. The holy calling of God that's on your life. So, well, I don't think I have a... Yes, you have a call. God's got something for you to do. The body of Christ is a body. That means, how many know, every part of your body does something. Amen. How many would like to volunteer? Put their hand up here and we'll take your finger off right now. How many, who wants to volunteer for that? No. Why? You said, well, I need that finger. That's my button pushing finger. I use it every day. You know, I push these buttons on my phone and do things. I need that finger. I need it to help me. I need every part of me. Anybody here want to volunteer something out of their body and have it cut off? No. We need you. God needs you. You have a supply. You have a river on the inside of you. That God wants to build you up and strengthen you. And that's really the first purpose. Hallelujah. Of praying in tongues is to edify, to build us up, and to take us into a place of fellowship with the Father that we couldn't have before. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was first, before really, I was first filled with the Spirit. I was hungering for God. And I used to go over to the, I lived in Bethany, Oklahoma at the time, and I used to go over to the college that was in town. And in the center of the college, there's a little chapel there. And Lisa knows this. I mean, it used to be open 24 hours a day. That was before 9/11, you know, well before 9/11. But anyway, it was open 24 hours a day, and I would go over there and I would just pray and seek God and pray for people that I had on my list and people that I was witnessing to and talking to the Lord about. And I just, in my heart, I love Jesus. I love God. But sometimes it just seemed like I couldn't quite tell him how much I love him. It just didn't seem enough. And then when I began to pray in other tongues, it connected me with him in a way I thought, oh, finally. I feel like I finally made that connection. And it was so overwhelmingly awesome to me. I mean, yeah, I was kind of new to these things, but it came there and began to continue from there. I would worship him, and I would spend time there praying in other tongues. And I remember when I started going to school there, and I had to go to class, and it would be so precious there, and I'd just say, Lord, I have to go to class, Lord. You know, and I almost felt like I wanted to apologize. Lord, forgive me, I'm leaving now, you know, but. Not only did I leave, he went with me. How many know he'll go with you? That presence comes. That fellowship that's so sweet in the Spirit. And it changes our more in our heart, in our inner being. It changes us. It builds us up in our spirit. And our spirit begins to become more dominant in our life, and we can control our body, and we can control our thoughts, our mind, and we begin to walk with him in what the Bible calls power. How many know you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How many know that rivers have power? You ever tried to walk across a river? I mean a real river. Not a little river, not the creek, but the one that's flowing. You get out in that river and you can hardly even walk. Why? Because the current is dragging you. You get out far enough, you may be able to get across, but you're not going straight across. You're going down the river. If you can swim across, if you're strong enough and the current's not too strong to carry you so far down and drown you. How many think they could swim across the Niagara Falls? You know, that's a strong one, isn't it? Whoosh, all that water going over, I mean, it's pretty, that's a tough current. You know, people have tried to go over the falls. How many know that? You know, in different barrels, and they were destroyed because of the power of the water that was coming through. Hallelujah. There is a power on the inside of you, and it's going to take you into your purpose if you'll give God time to pray. Amen. We received that. Acts chapter 2. I'm closing right now. I want to read this Acts 2. Acts 2, verse number 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, Jesus had already told them, Acts 1:8, you're going to receive what? Power. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth." And then he told them to go wait, didn't he? He said, wait in Jerusalem. Receive this power. And when you receive this power, here is what takes place. You are filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak. How many have ever seen in the Word of God, every time they were filled with power, somebody began to speak? And here he said they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the words to say. In other words, it's a supernatural language. It's not something you learn. It's not something you make up. It's not something you hope. No, you're filled with a power. And God so fills you with the power of the Holy Spirit that it rises up on the inside of you and you can open your mouth. And you begin to pray in a supernatural language. And then you become the steward of that. Amen. That is the initial prayer that you receive. That any person that is hungry for God, that really wants change in their life, they can receive that. You can have that if you've been born again. Now, if you haven't been born again, you can't receive it. It won't happen. So, well, how do you know, brother? I've had that experience. Had a guy come to the church and he said he was born again, but later on I found out he was not born again. He was into several different kinds of things. He just wanted that power, kind of like, you know, when you saw Simon, you know, even though he did get born again and baptized, but he was a baby Christian. He says, "I'll pay you to get that power." He was kind of like that, this guy. He really wanted that power. He wanted those tongues, but he couldn't receive it. And finally, you know what God told me? He said, "Don't waste your time with him." He wasn't interested in being saved. He didn't want to be saved. I talked to him a bit, and when he didn't want to be saved, I said, "I can't help you. You have to be born again to receive this gift. But if you have been born again, it's free. It comes when we ask God to fill us. It's very simple." You say, "Well, how do I get that?" We just simply ask him. How many know what Luke 11, I know he used that scripture, and I know he's talking about really answered prayer, but Luke 11, right there at the end here of this passage where Jesus was talking to them, he says, "How much more will he give," what? "The Holy Spirit to those who," what? "Ask him." Amen. Oops. I'm not even close there. Verse 9, I believe, yeah. 9 through, where is it? 11, 13. Verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more," everybody say "much more," "will," amen, hallelujah, "how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We ask, don't we? Amen. I'm believing. How many are believing that people will be saved? and that they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you are believing for family members. I remember when I was believing and praying for my family members to be filled. And my family wasn't real happy with me when I happened to be taking my little brother to a soccer practice. He was only 10 years old. That's Hans. You guys met Hans. And we're riding along. And I said, well, have you ever been filled with the Spirit? No. I said, well, you can be. You can pray in tongues. And you know what his aunt, you know what he said to me? He said, how? I said, well, you just ask God to fill you. And he will, and he'll rise up, and you start speaking. And while we're on our way to soccer practice, guess what? He's speaking in other tongues. And my parents got very angry with me. You didn't have that right. So, well, it's too late now. I don't know what else to say. You know, and, you know, I was only, he was 10 years old. I'm 9 years older than him, so I guess I was 19 at that time, But then later they moved away from where I was living. My father found a better job, and it was probably maybe not even a year, maybe like 6 months later. And I had told him, though, get this. I told him, I said, I want you praying tongues every day. Of course, he's only 10 and just started. So I was telling him like maybe 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, whatever for right now to get started. And so that's what he was praying a little bit. And it really blessed me. You know why? Sometimes anybody ever get away from God? You know, he had kind of gotten away from some of the things of God when they moved. They didn't have a real good church. And, you know, you get into college, to school, and it's hard. You want to get along, right? How many know you want to fit in, you know? So he was, you know, doing some things that weren't perfect, maybe drinking a little bit, different things, you know, and once in a while they got drunk on the weekend, you know, but he would come home. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, and sometimes you wonder, am I still saved? And he said, I could still pray in tongues. I knew I was saved. It strengthened him enough to stay with Jesus, to stay with God, and to continue to pursue God. Later in his, you know, later on he graduated and he moved to Tulsa the same year I did. And I believe it was a divine appointment of God. Divinely. He wasn't going to go to Bible school. He wasn't at that time. He was going to go to they have a real strong training school there for people to become pilots and do things with airplanes. Some of them become mechanics. And he went into the communications end and actually... How many remember when they used to have air phones on the back of the seat? You know, if you fly in a plane, there'd be a phone there. You could use your credit card. You'd have an air phone before cell phones really came out. And, or they were just getting ready to come out. You could use that phone that was on your seat. He used to install those. But anyway, besides that, but there's a power that comes with praying in the Holy Spirit. When we receive Him, when He comes upon us. So I want to ask you today, let's just, you know, if you're here today, you say, well, I've been saved, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues. But I want that. I hear about that power today. I want to receive that. And that, if that's you, if you're watching today and that's you, you want to receive that power. I want to invite you to come forward today. We'll pray with you. Sit in the chair here and we'll lay hands on you and we can pray with you. And you'll be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody out there that wants to be filled, that isn't filled? I think everybody in here is probably filled. Most of us. And, you know, and if you're not and you have other questions about the Holy Spirit, please feel free to ask. Call the church. Come by, talk to me. I'll be glad to talk with you. And we'll get that. And we'll talk a little bit more. I know this is really, you say, well, that was really simple today, but how many are strengthened to pray more in the Spirit? To find your purpose. To speak mysteries with God. Secrets that He wants to reveal to you. Things that have been hidden in this Word since the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. He begins to reveal things. Amen. All right. Well, if nobody needs to be filled or wants to be filled, we will. Anybody online that wants to be filled? All right. Well, let's just thank God for filling us with the Holy Spirit this morning. And then we'll be dismissed and I'll see you at the back door. But let's take a couple of minutes. Say, Father, we just thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit. Father, for giving me that supernatural language of praying in tongues. We thank you, Father. We glorify you that we can use it anytime we want to. We magnify you and exalt you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're my guide, that you're my teacher, that you're my helper, and that you have filled me to overflowing, and that there's going to be, Lord, more and more rivers flowing out of me. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory and praise. Amen and amen.